This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
You know, when it comes to the draft and this Miami Dolphin team, which we've been talking a lot about, and probably a lot of people not real excited about some of the conversation this morning, but Kyle Crabbs, Locked On Fins podcast, as well as a lot of other things, joins us. Kyle, good morning, man. And I started with this morning of, like, Kendall Fuller's gone now, so you need a cornerback. That becomes more of a priority with just Jalen, Kahu, and Storm Duck. I'm guessing Kahu will end up here as a restricted free agent. But there's a lot of different ways you could go on this thing, and you can't really get mad at anybody.
Yeah. I agree with you about Kader Kohu first and foremost. They have an interesting decision about if they want to do an actual extension with him or if they just want to do a restricted free agent tender with him. The lowest tender is not really an option because it would be for an original round draft pick, but he wasn't drafted. He was an undrafted free agent. So that's an interesting one that I'm going to wait and see how they choose to tackle it. But I would definitely say right now they made the decision to make another vacancy on the depth chart for some future and long-term salary cap savings. And I think that should give you a little bit of a clue about, despite the pressure to win, there's probably some focus of long-term health here as well, because that's what a move like that kind of suggests to me.
Well, yeah, and you've got these draft picks. We've been talking seven picks in the first five rounds. And how important it's going to be to get starters, because you just can't do everything in free agency. You just can't expect to get quality or guys that have broken down here recently. So I want to ask you about this one. This one's really been bothering me. So Teron Armstead's really good, and there's no question about it.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to think he wants to come back and play. Played 15 games this year, finished, I think, 13 of the 15 games. Patrick Paul, second-round pick, got three starts, had some good, had some bad, had some growing pains. How do you handle that if Teron does come back and they can come to some type of agreement with him redoing that contract?
Well, I think you'd have to continue to look at the salary. And the Dolphins just did that with Teron last year, where they came to an agreement on an adjusted salary and put some more money in incentives for being active on game day. I'd really be surprised, though, Joe, and Teron's still one of the better tackles in football, but at some point, if you're making some hard decisions based on, you know, short-term and long-term considerations, this is why you draft a guy like Patrick Paul. And like, I don't think you can really sit here and play the game and try to move him inside with his build and his frame and how raw he is. Yeah, he could play right tackle, but I thought almost all of his worst reps last year came at right tackle. He was a four-year starter at left tackle at Houston. So, you know, you can transition away from Teron and save almost $4.5 million in cap space if you do it right off the jump, and then that clears $23 million in cap space for 2026. You have a succession plan in place here. You just made that kind of decision with Kendall Fuller without a succession plan in place. And I get that Teron Armstead's a different caliber of player because he's a much better player. He's one of the best left tackles in the game. But with the lack of continuity and consistency and guys starting games and finish games and how many games is he going to start, I find myself leaning towards, I would prefer to see you lean into Patrick Paul being your starting left tackle and make that transition, because at some point you got to start taking some of the exit ramps that you built in for yourself on some of these big contracts.
I always just feel like Chris and the gang over there, they go, well, let's wait. We can wait on this one. You know, we don't have to rush him in there. You know, I don't know if that's enough. And Teron, I think the other part of this is Teron is such a great leader with this group. And by the way, I think including, I'll get right to it, I think he's one of the few guys Tyreek Hill listens to when he says, hey, man, not cool. I think it worked with Teron Armstead. I think he respects him.
Yeah, that's the part of this that definitely needs to be foiled. And I think maybe you can offset some of that with the kind of guys that you choose to bring in. Are you going to draft a couple of offensive linemen with the intent that they're going to be starters for you? Are you going to go out and get guys that have played in free agency and are a little bit longer in the tooth with experience but aren't end-stage career players that are one-year Band-Aids? Like, maybe you can offset some of that in that regard, but that's the biggest loss I think you're facing with Teron is I think Patrick Paul's going to be okay from a talent perspective at left tackle, but Teron with his experience, with his leadership, with the mentorship that he's had over all these young guys, there's no question. I think that's one of the biggest inherent values that he brings to the team outside of just going out there and playing left tackle.
Kyle, you've seen the draft, 13, 48, 98, 115, 135, 151, 156. That's where you're picking through five rounds and seven picks. How many starters? I mean pure starters. Should we be able to get out of that knowing we need a lot of starters we don't have on this roster right now because of free agency?
Yeah, I think you could probably aspire to get three. I think that's reasonable that each one of your top 100 picks you could potentially land a starter. Now, if you're going to draft a nose tackle type player who's technically a starter but more of like a 35-40% of snaps total played on defense, you could probably find a guy like that in the fourth round. So some of this depends on how the value shakes out versus how they grade out the prospects on the board. But if you're making picks with 48 and 13, those guys, I think you just need to do a good enough job of giving yourself some level of floor in all your position rooms so that whenever the draft comes, you can just let the talent come to you and not be painted into a corner and say, well, we need two safeties. We didn't sign any in free agency, so we have to draft one with the first two picks. Because if the board doesn't fall well, now you're taking a lesser player.
Kyle, can you ever remember a time the Dolphins may need two guards and two safeties? And I'm talking about starters if Javon Holland turns to free agency like most people think he is.
No, I can't. I don't necessarily know that it's a bad thing based on the performance of the majority of the players in those two rooms, though. So there's a lot of focus on snaps that this team took last year that are on expiring contracts, and you have four players in those two rooms alone that were your majority snap takers with over 75% of the snaps played for each one of those four guys. And Javon Holland, I think, has a bright future ahead of him. I think the last 2 years have not been the best football that he's played. Whether that comes in Miami or elsewhere remains to be seen. I think he's going to have a pretty good market, but I also think there's enough options out there at safety that if he prices himself out of your range, I feel pretty good about your ability to get a guy. And look, there's guys like Quandre Diggs and Justin Simmons that were unsigned until late July last year, and they signed for less than $6 million each. And I think it's a good safety class. And, you know, the guard class isn't like what it was last year where everybody spent like crazy, but I think that probably plays into Miami's favor to find some guys that are good fits. And it really shouldn't be hard to upgrade over those two rooms and those two spots in each of those two rooms.
I've been hearing more and more about, and from our fan base, Javon Holland, Jalen Ramsey moving to safety. You think that happens at some point? We've seen physical corners in the past go to safety and keep their careers going. I don't think it happens now because they're so shorthanded and he's so good at what he does. But could you see that down the road, Ramsey going to safety?
Yeah, I could certainly see that as a long-term pathway for him to maintaining playing at a very high level. But as you said, you know, last year, the matchups with Garrett Wilson aside when they played the Jets, I thought he did a really nice job throughout the season. And I think he still has plenty of juice left in the tank at corner. So I don't think that conversation comes just yet, because as you said, you'd be patching a need for safety, and in return, you'd be opening another need at corner. And he really hasn't played as much nickel as I kind of thought that he would when he came over from the Rams. So I'll be interested to see if they get a little bit more interchangeability with some of the corners, guys that tackle with consistency. Maybe like the ball production wasn't good for Kendall Fuller last year. I feel like he slowed down in the second half of the season as a couple injuries added up for him, and he looked like an older corner down the stretch. I'll be interested to see if, especially with Anthony Weaver now back, you get more Ramsey moving around the defense, because I think that's where the meat is on the bone for him right now as compared to moving back and playing safety fullback.
Well, speaking of that, what do you think team thinks of Storm Duck off of what you saw as a rookie free agent now going into year two? I mean, he had his good times and obviously had some rough ones too later in the year. What do you think?
I see what there is to like about Storm Duck. And I'm going to use an eggs in basket joke, and with Storm, it's not meant to be a pun, but excuse me, I'm going to do it anyway. I think if you put a bunch of eggs in the Storm Duck basket this offseason, I think you're doing yourself a disservice for your cornerback room. As a guy who's an undrafted free agent who had the kind of ups and downs that he did, that Packers showing is a really rough game for him, and it was in a big spot. I think you need to protect yourself, and, you know, there were a couple other guys in the preseason that showcased themselves well as undrafted free agent rookies as well, in Jason Maitre at nickel, and Isaiah Johnson was the other undrafted free agent corner. So I got some competition there. Ethan Bonner, Cam Smith, I don't know that the switch is going to flip for him. But all those guys, it's great to have that competition, but I'd love to have another player that you felt good about being
right.
A star.
I'm with you.
The third guy. I don't think you could roll with him being one of your top three corners next year.
All right, so you already started in. You got everybody talking. You've already started making some picks. I wasn't crazy about last week and Tyler Warren. I understand he's a really good player and could help you, but my gosh, we just talked about all the different positions. Like, you're looking for bodies, and don't get me wrong, Durham Smythe's gone, and you're going to need another tight end, but give me the latest on what you're thinking.
Yeah, I think the big domino that I think could really be a tipping point, I think there's two. There's Will Johnson from Michigan, who sounds like the league's cooled on a little bit. He didn't have a great season this past year. Dealt with some minor injury stuff that kept him out for the middle portion of the season. Does he make it to 13? Because if he does, I think that's the intersection of best player available based off of entire body of work at Michigan, with premium position, which they like to care about, with a need on the roster. So I think that's one domino. I'd still be surprised if he gets to 13, but just kind of listening to some of the pulse across the league, not generally perceived, at least right now, with what the buzz is, to be the top five player that he was a consensus consideration to be at the beginning of the college football season back in August. And the other one is what happens with Bradley Chubb. You know, what's that?
A good one. Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Is that a guy that you keep? Is that a guy that you try to trade for whatever you can get? Would there be a market for him with 2 years at $19.5 million in salary, although none of it's guaranteed? Would you post-June first cut him? I think if you post-June first cut him, and I'm not a huge fan of post-June first cuts for where this version of the team is at, but you're talking, it's like $1.5 million in savings versus $18.5 million in savings, and you'd love to get all the savings up front for your first wave of free agency, but savings like that is kind of equivalent to what they got from Xavier Howard last year. That could take care of your rookie draft class. That could take care of your practice squad and your in-season budget. So they have a lot of different avenues with very minimal savings opportunities with Bradley Chubb to move on if they choose to. So if they choose to move on, the edge the pass rush group, and I know we just took Chop Robinson, but Jalen Phillips is in a contract year. It's a great year for it. It's a loaded class.
Boy, then there's another position that that jumps up on the board you got to take care of. Yeah, I man, filling all this stuff out. I felt a lot better about the last 2 years roster than I do right now with this group because there's so much work to do. Do you agree with that?
I think you're going to have to bet on some young guys.
Yes.
For sure. I think that there's going to be successes and failures out of that group. I think you maybe have the opportunity to fill out some more mid-level long-term or longer-term starters in free agency than what they got last year, where really it was only a handful of guys got multi-year contracts. But yeah, there's going to be some gambles and some bets here, and it's where do you want to make them, and in what rooms do you feel like you have enough pieces that you can afford to bet on some depth or potentially go out and get a guy you think's a really good fit that might not have been a great player somewhere else and bet on him being a home run for you in free agency, kind of like what Jonnu Smith and Jordan Brooks were.
Yeah. By the way, there's so much to talk about, but that was a great teaser today, man. I appreciate you coming on, Kyle, and talking a little bit about, well, I'll tell you what, I said it earlier, Chris Greer, you got your work cut out, my man, from free agency to the draft and hitting on some guys if we're going to get this thing caught back up, because we got a lot of guys that we need to come in. Like I said, we talked about all these different positions. Find some players that come in and make an impact right away, for sure. Anyway, Kyle, thank you. Really appreciate it.
Of course, Joe. It's great catching up with you.
Kyle Krabs, Locked On Fins podcast with us this morning as we continue on. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. That man is special. Boy, I'll tell you what. First-time home buyers need a mortgage, want to get the best rates, want to get it done quickly. Great service and getting it done is what Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage is all about. Self-employed, been declined by the banks. Don't worry. He's got a program for you. I got to tell you, reverse mortgages more popular than ever. If you and your spouse are 62 or older, you qualify. Got all that equity in your home and could really use it as you get close to retirement. Well, let Michael Kotze get that done for you too. Boy, I could go on and on about the things he's doing, but I want you to go to Google Reviews. Check out Choice Mortgage Reviews and what they're saying about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage and his 35 years of business here in South Florida getting it done. The man truly has no life. The guy is always working. He works 7 days a week. You can call or text him even on a weekend, 561-441-2730. That's 561-441-2730. MLS 166-254, rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time for your weather, brought to you by the Demesman Andover Law from your accident attorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. It is 73 degrees at this current moment. And Joe, looking good for your matches out there. No,
looking
no
outstanding.
Rain.
And speaking of that, I'm Got a Canadian I'm playing against today. So we're starting it early.
Oh, the Four Nations?
We're going.
Is that what you're calling it out there?
Grabbing a guy, I think a guy from Montreal, actually. Maybe,
really?
Maybe Quebec, but I think Montreal.
Are you guys going to do the anthems before you play?
We haven't decided yet. We haven't decided if it's going to be weird with everybody around us if we should do
Will people
that today.
Boo?
I don't know.
Will they boo the American anthem, the Canadian
fans? I don't know,
fans?
But honestly, it might get a little dirty today. With this game so close, it just...
Is it a rivalry with Canada?
No, I'm just kidding. But, hey, listen, Bill Lindsay, Panthers radio analyst, going to join us. That's just awesome, man. You think they had any idea when they put this together that this thing was going to be an absolute home run? And by the way, even more than that, how great has it been for the Panthers? You can't tell me this hasn't been a great marketing tool for the Panthers, who've already don't need a lot of help. Their viewership, the amount of people going to games right now. If somebody would have told me 10 years ago this is going to happen, I would have said, listen, man, everybody comes down here, signs a contract to retire, brings the family down here so they have the nice winter vacation down here in South. Man, guys are coming down here to play now. Great players and the whole thing. So Reinhardt and Bennett playing for Canada, and, of course, Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk, and the way the thing started, just so good. So good for the Panthers. Great stuff. That trade that was made for Matthew Tkachuk a couple years ago was
one of the best trades in the history of our town.
Pretty much up there, right, for what he's done. And it's not that he's scoring 100 goals, or it's not like when we brought Pavel Bure down here. It's just his leadership.
Rocket.
Yeah, it's just – it's everything, man. He just took this team over from day one, that big personality. And I was kind of wondering because, you know, they had some guys on the team like Barkov who doesn't say much. And, boy, they've got great chemistry. You hear all the guys talking. Stanley Cup finals, lose, come back the next year healthy and win it. And here they go, great shape, coming back, as long as everybody's...
That trade took guts, too, by the way, right? And that was Huberdeau who was involved in that thing, who was
Huberdeau coming
really
off
good.
A great year.
Yeah.
And by the way, you don't think he's been whining and crying about... You were talking about a guy that was active in Fort Lauderdale that did not want to leave.
So they won a championship off of that, essentially, right? I'm trying to think of a more significant trade that we've made down here.
Well,
because we don't have a ton of championships.
I think if you're to look at the work that Bill Zito did the whole way through,
yeah,
everything he did for Paul Maurice was a home run, literally, right? I mean, they brought guys in and they became frontline guys. They got paid.
By the way, he's a heck of a coach, too.
It's just that it's the whole thing. It's just.
But what trade like that's been made down here more significant? I'm trying to think.
That'd be a hard one to beat.
Jimmy Butler was a trade, right?
Matthew Tkachuk, you're not.
Well, so they brought Jimmy in. You
went
to make
Matthew
a couple
Tkachuk.
Finals.
Yeah, no, he was great. He was great. He's going to do it now for Golden State. That's what they're saying. But it was
so I hear they.
That
yeah,
was
Draymond said they're going to win.
That
was
that was a huge one, man. And they're in the middle of it, but they got a great group right now, man, including Reinhardt, who continues to score. Bennett's a nice piece. You just go through the whole team. Big Bob gets a second win. How about the comeback? They're ready to get rid of Big Bob. He's playing against Tampa Bay in the playoffs, and he's not even suiting up. He's over there as the third goalie. And they're going, how do we get rid of him? Can we find somebody who'll take it? Can we have somebody who'll pick that contract up? We got to get rid of him. He goes, no, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay here and play. Has this bounce mm-hmm. back.
Good one here by the texter Shaq, they're saying.
Shaq was a good one.
Yeah.
Shaq was a good one.
He brought a championship. Ricky Williams, someone said.
Not in this.
Didn't do a whole lot of winning. But.
Listen, he put up some numbers. He did.
Someone said LeBron was technically a trade. No, LeBron was not technically a trade. No.
No, good try.
LeBron went on TV.
Good try. Good try, though. You love everybody's creativity, though, when you get going on this. Matthew Tkachuk.
I don't remember how the LeBron thing eventually went down. Maybe they did do a sign and trade of some sort after the fact.
Look what Matthew,
my brain doesn't work anymore. But
look what Matthew Tkachuk and this group of guys and Verhaeghe, they got a lot of great pieces. Don't get me wrong. A lot of really good, important pieces. But they, we all of a sudden have won a Stanley Cup and almost, I mean, got to the finals in the other one. And here they are in their great shape coming back in first place. And then on top of that, you get this great marketing tool called the United States and Canada playing each other with your guys being a big part of it. It's great stuff, man. That's all. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to get into naming a better deal, but Matthew Tkachuk.
Someone said they didn't know Ira was Canadian.
No, no, Ira's not.
Ira's from, what is he, from Long Island or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was just a guess, by the way.
I think Ira's, he is from.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Somewhere up there. I'm not sure where. I got Poupart today.
Oh, wow.
Lefty. Wow. The shot kicks out.
Can we bring
to my
him on
backhand.
Tomorrow for a recap?
No, because nobody cares.
I care.
No, you don't care.
I think people do
I don't care.
I think people do.
I'm going to tell you what I care
because
about.
Because you know what they care about? They care about all the altercations you have out there out on the court.
I'm going to tell you what I care
guys
about.
Guy's hair and
I care
whatever
about
else you
Billy,
get into.
Billy Lindsay. Man, I've been with Bill Lindsay for a long time. Panthers radio analyst. He's going to talk to us a little bit about this. I got a lot of questions about this game tomorrow night. USA and Canada for the championship. This is the way it's supposed to be, man. Teammates playing against each other. This is great. I didn't even know some of these guys that are on this team from the United States. I thought they were all Canadians. I just thought all those guys were Canadians. I had no idea. Hey, I'll tell you what. I did know this. South Florida Chevy dealers got some great products when it comes to the SUV family and the truck family. It's never looked better than right now with 14 dealerships throughout South Florida for you. And I'm not going to mention anything about how much I love my new 2025 Tahoe. I'm not going to mention it to you. More space than ever. All the new technology on the inside, I'm still learning about it, but I'll tell you what, it is a big toy inside there. I am having a blast. Driving into work, cruising around on the weekend, and you will too. Now, I'm not going to mention that at all. I want to tell you about the all-new Equinox. Boy, I'll tell you what, the interior, the convenient driver tech, I could go on and on. The 2025 Traverse, you talk about spacious and comfortable for everybody. Man, plenty of room for everyone's cargo. And you're talking about a family, even though it's a midsize, everybody's going to be comfortable. And what a look in that turbocharged 2.5 liter engine. Wow. Right over to Silverado Trucks, man. Four strong options for you when it comes to power. An engine you need for work. Doesn't matter. You're working 5, 6, 7 days out of the back of that truck. Heavy loads, a lot of towing, no problem. We got the perfect engine and Silverado truck for you, man. Impressive right across the board. It's almost like they, I always say this, they've custom made a Silverado truck that's absolutely perfect for your lifestyle. Hey, go find out for yourself. Take a test drive. Check out the new SUVs and trucks at your South Florida Chevy dealers. Outstanding offers going on right now.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, Woody, let's go right to him. Billy Lindsay, Panthers radio analyst, former Panther. And, Billy, I had no idea, you probably did, that this this championship Four Nations face-off championship thing they're doing was going to be a huge hit, must-watch TV, and they are playing it like a game seven of a Stanley Cup. I was shocked. Did you expect this?
Didn't know what to expect totally, but I knew once USA and Canada got together on the same ice, there was going to be some fireworks. That's exactly what happened with Brady and Matthew Tkachuk fighting off the draw, and then you had Bennett going yeah. with Brady and all. Crazy. I mean, Petrangelo fighting JT Miller. 9 seconds in, off we go. McAvoy running over McDavid. Then the rest of the game was just. When you put players on the ice with that kind of speed and that kind of talent, it's so if you got the National Hockey League, there's no level higher to get to, but if you put the same players on the ice. And I don't believe the NBA – I love the NBA, and there are some teams catching up to what they can do in the Olympics, but it's still Team USA in the Olympics. I thought that it was thrilling. Baseball, you don't have that chance, and definitely not football. So we were the one sport, even if we went to the Olympics, that if you add – Czechia and the Russians, that you could have six teams.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly win a gold medal. So now you have four, but the speed and pace is electrifying.
And the NHL has done a great job, and the players have fully bought in.
I think this has been so good for the Panthers, the Matthew Tkachuk and his brother story, but Reinhardt and Bennett also in the middle of this thing. How good has this been? Panthers don't need a whole lot of help. They're won a Stanley Cup. They almost got another one. They've been in the big show 2 years in a row. I just think it's been great for the Florida Panthers and what Tkachuk and the gang have done. What about for you?
Yeah, it has been. And you get eight players on that stage. It really says something about your team and your development. Bill Zito, one of the assistant general managers over there with Team USA, everyone kind of argues, what about injuries? We saw Matthew Tkachuk have to miss a game. I believe he's going to go tomorrow and be fine. So there's some problems that maybe you worry about with injuries. But when you see these players, I talked to Paul Maurice about it, and he said, I'm not so worried. The players are going to get a chance to relax that don't go. The players that do go, when they come back, they're usually way better off. And because of that, it's like if you went from the National Hockey League to the American Hockey League. I've done that a few times. But anyway,
yeah.
You get down to the American Hockey League, and it's like, wow, this pace is slow. I can do anything I want. You're going to see a lot of these players that come back from this Four Nations experience that said, that's the fastest hockey I've ever seen. Once they get back on that NHL ice, the game's going to slow down for them, especially for the first week or two. They're going to be like, whoa, I got all kinds of time. They're going to be better off for it. You get to learn from Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, Tkachuk, Jack Eichel, all the superstars in this event, just sharing ideas. It's great for your team. It's great for the players that get involved with it. And as you said, Joe, it's been a boom for the NHL.
Yeah, so I got to ask you, that was a good question. I was going to ask you, was the general managers about losing players? Is there concern? Will you have complaints from some of the NHL teams going, great, now I got a guy banged up that's going to be out for a week or two that hurts us, which is a hell of a lot more important in that tournament. You think you'll get that, or is everybody all aboard on this thing? It's just great for our sport.
They're all aboard. They know the consequences that come with it. GMs and coaches would be lying if they're not holding their breath.
Yeah, of course.
I would tell you that everyone comes back and is going to be in one piece. But they understand, just what Matthew Tkachuk said, this is no all-star game when he headed over there. He could not wait to put on that jersey and represent Team USA in this format. And all the players were like that. It's been a while for the best on best. But for the NHL clubs, yes, there's some trepidation because the one main goal for your team is to win the Stanley Cup. We saw Shea Theodore with Team Canada get nicked up for the Vegas Golden Knights. How much time will he be out? So if you're Vegas, you're like, yeah. But for the most part, it's fully been embraced by the players, the coaching staff, the NHL, everyone involved in it. They wanted best on best. They made it happen, and it's been a good event.
So I got to ask you what I don't know, and I know you'll know, and I know the names from some of these guys that we've played against and seen, McDavid and Crosby and guys like that. But does the United States talent-wise match up pretty even with Canada or not overall for you?
No, they're the favorite. Yeah, the talent. If you went down, maybe down the middle, there's a little bit more talent as far as the center ice position with Team Canada. When you get Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, that all are all natural centermen.
Yeah, wow.
It looks a little bit better. But the overall talent, what Team USA has done with these development programs, so they get the best under 16 together, and they grow them up, and they get into the best under 18. And once they get to that 16 to 18 age group, they go on one team together and play in the USHL, which is Tier 2 junior hockey that leads to scholarships. But that league is for 16 to 20-year-old kids. But they get all these highly developed U.S. people and players playing together all the way up. That
wow.
System does not exist in Canada. And that's where U.S. hockey has been able to really change their dynamic and their fortune going forward. They won the last two gold medals at the World Junior Championships. And they did come into this one. If you went down position by position, either straight up with Canada or a marginal favorite. Many people felt that Team USA was going to be the team to beat in this tournament. So far, that's held true.
So were you a little surprised the way it started? Like, they're in Montreal. You know how important this game is up in Canada. I don't have to tell you. And there's Tkachuk and his brother decide, hey, before we go, we just want to start it this way. And I got juiced up, man, watching. I don't know what it was like for you. I'm guessing the same thing, like, holy crap. this feels serious now. Or did that surprise you, both Tkachuk brothers that talked about this and came out and decided this is what we're going to do on the road?
Yes, you don't see a lot of it. I believe there's been 9 fights in Olympics and best-on-best hockey, but 2 of the other ones involved the GM for Team USA, Bill Guerin, and the dad for the Tkachuks.
Keith. Yeah, jeez.
So you got old Keith Walt there that was involved in one. So the Tkachuk brothers were going to stir it up, and they were going to set a tone and a message in that game. Here, we're not going to back down. And you saw Charlie McAvoy with 2 thunderous hits on Connor McDavid. So they came out and were going to test where Team Canada was going to be at. So that's if you watch that hockey game and the speed and all the fight, that was one of the best games that we've seen in the 2000s. You might have to go back to the Canada Cup in the 80s since you've seen a game like that between two international countries.
So I think you're going to agree. Canada's going, okay, you kicked our ass pretty good, and we've heard about it from everybody. It's going to be a little different. We got a little wake-up call this time around. Do you expect that from Canada?
Yeah, Canada will come out. They're good. They're going to represent. I don't believe you'll see the fights, all that kind of stuff. This is for all the marbles. You don't want to put anything into jeopardy. It's going to be played like you mentioned Game 7. Well, this is going to be played like a Game 7. I don't believe there will be a lot of penalties called. Be a lot of 5-on-5 hockey. And when that happens, you can see when the best player's on the ice and it skates that fast, there's not a lot of room to operate. That first game was 2-1 for Team USA. Scoring chances are really hard to come by when you just have so much small little room to really navigate. And it was a bad line change for Team Canada that cost them that first game. It could go either way. And I also believe the one area that is far superior is the goaltending. Connor Hellebuyck got the day off the other day. He's the best goalie in the world going for Team USA. Jordan Binnington has been average, but if you looked at the first, the 2 goals that Team USA scored in that game, in that victory, they were mano-a-mano shots with the goaltender. One was down the left wing, the other one was down the right wing. No screens, no traffics, and they were able to beat Binnington clean. That if those shots are against Connor Hellebuyck, I don't believe either of those shots go in. So it's going to be the tiniest of miscues or a goaltender making a mistake that's going to end up being the margin. And I have a hard time wrapping my head around seeing this game being over a 3-2 kind of game.
It's going to be great. This is going to be unbelievable. Hey, by the way, real quickly about the Panthers trade deadline. Do you need to add anything, or do you think the team's going, let's go with this group, we've seen enough, let's go win this friggin' thing?
I think Zito's going to be interested. He'll kick down a little bit on the back end defensively, maybe for some more support back there. We'll see what happens. Up front, not sure if you want to explore like you did with Tarasenko last year. Samoskevich has fit in well with this team, a youngster. But different than last year where they added to the top 9 on the forward group, I think Bill Zito would be looking to address maybe some area on defense that would give them an extra little punch. That would be my only guess, is where they maybe would want to tweak this team. Other than that, they feel pretty good about where they're at.
Bill, you got to jump in on this one as an old hockey guy, an old football guy here. So we got in this thing about, because you know right now the hockey thing's the hottest thing going, and I asked this question about, I said, listen, it's not even close on what's more physical. Guys are tackling for a living. They're big. They're fast compared to hockey guys, and 74% of people disagreed with me. Now, I will talk to you. Toughness, you guys play injured more than any other sport. It's not even close. But I wanted to ask you, as far as what's a more physical sport for you? You played it. You've checked guys. You've knocked the crap out of them. You've been blindsided. What is it for you?
Okay, Joe, here's the simple answer. We play 82 games. We're on the ice for a ton of minutes out there. It is physical. It's hard. You get hit. You take your lumps, your bruises. You will play through a ton of injuries. The most physical sport, it's not even close, football, is crushing. So if you took out the TV commercials, you took out the huddles, and you went snap to snap to snap to snap, I think you could play a football game in 15 minutes or 20 minutes.
Yeah, no, there's no question. If we didn't have him, by the way, that and reviews and everything else, yes.
Yeah, so, but that, I mean, it's all part of it. It's all part of the game, and it all adds to the intrigue. But if you actually took the amount of playing time that football has and the guys that are every game, those guys just getting just tortured in 15, 20 minutes of action. We're not the smartest of people. We do go out there and play injured, broken sternums. But Joe, when there's someone 350 pounds,
yeah, that's my point.
There's another guy 180 pounds trying to run over him. That's a running back or 210 pounds,
yes.
And he's getting smushed. Or you're a quarterback. That's insanity. The more physical and the way. I would let my kid play hockey. I would have reservations about football, Joe. I'm sorry, but
No, I'm glad you said that because you right now hockey's hot and it's the hottest thing going and people are like it's not even close. The Panthers compare and they get going on
I'll put a rest for that argument to you. Football is wildly wicked and atrocious. there's a car collision every down.
Yes, that's
every
why
time you snap the football, there is a car collision. And in a hockey game, you maybe get hit like that once or twice, and that or see two or three big hits a game. You're seeing one on every set of down.
Yeah, Billy, you know what?
So
just
that's
well
my answer.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good way to finish it off, man. I can't wait for tomorrow night. That's gonna be a lot of fun, Billy. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one, Joe.
Bill Lindsay, Panthers radio analyst, former Panther, and a very smart hockey player. Super smart guy, you can tell right there.
You didn't
there.
Ask the question right.
Oh, stop with
You're
the question.
To say playoff hockey. You didn't ask the question.
What else
right?
you can add? Like playoff hockey with your wife at the game. What's wrong? Stop it.
We need a second opinion tomorrow.
Oh, God. Did you hear how clear he made that?
I know, but you didn't ask the question the right way.
No,
you asked it so that he would lean in your direction.
I did not. You and your 74% of your people, you guys all back there nodding like, we got to figure it out. He's a dumbass. Hey, I'll tell you what, before we get to 9 o'clock hour, Baptist Health South Florida, man. Woo! Man, are they good at what they do. I just talked to some of the doctors this morning. They're laughing about something stupid I said, but I will tell you this, man. Where do the pros go when they get injured? I get it every day. Enter Miami, the Heat, the Panthers, the Dolphins, FIU, FAU. The Miami Open Tennis and a lot of other events down here use those great doctors that they have put together to have one of the top 50 sports medicine programs in the country right here in our backyard, Baptist Health South Florida, with three great locations and a ton of great specialists put together for every part of the body. The 80s are gone, man. One doctor taking care of everything. Now knee and shoulder and foot and ankle and hand and back and hip and knee replacement, Achilles. We're talking about doctors for every part of the body. They've seen every injury. They know how to fix it with great rehabilitation, proper rehabilitation at that, and three fantastic facilities. Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, Hard Rock Stadium right next to the training facility, and 595 in Pine Island in Plantation. All you have to do is visit baptisthealth.net/ortho. One goal every day, getting you healthy. Back out playing the sports you love the most.